Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to GPT Infraprojects Limited Q1 FY24 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Atul Tantia, Executive Director and CFO. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone, and a warm welcome to the GPT Infraprojects Limited earnings conference call for the first quarter ended June 30, 2023. The results presentation, along with our press release, has already been uploaded on the company's website and that of the stock exchanges. I hope that you have had a chance to go through the same. Today on the call, we also have with us Stellar IR, our investor relations advisors. I'm glad to announce that the Q1 FY24 has made a remarkable start for the fiscal year 2024. The strongest quarterly performance on all parameters, that is revenue, EBITDA, PAT, and cash flow. This achievement is attributable to our strong execution capabilities, steady focus on cash flow, and also our commitment to expand to newer geographies with the commissioning of the factory in Ghana. Now, moving ahead to our financial performance for the first quarter of FY 2024. Our revenues was 234 crores on a standalone basis, which compared to rupees 188 crores last year, representing a growth of approximately 25% YOY. On a consolidated basis, the revenues stood at rupees 236 crores compared to rupees 188 crores for the last year, representing a growth of 26% YOY. In both the standalone and consolidated numbers, we have set a target of approximately 20% growth in the current fiscal year. This growth will be majorly driven by the significant execution in the infrastructure segment, which accounted for 92% of our total revenues for the first quarter. Our standalone EBITDA for the quarter ended 30 June 2023 stood at rupees 32.5 crores compared to rupees 23.4 crores, representing a growth of 39% YOY, with EBITDA margin at 13.9% compared to 12.4% for the same period last year. We are confident of maintaining our long-term EBITDA margin at 12.5% to 13% from the operations, which we have guided historically as our hurdle rate. With the improvement in revenue, the operational efficiencies have helped us to ensure long-term EBITDA, and we expect the same to be maintained going forward. In terms of our international operations, the subsidiary in South Africa has resumed operations, and supplies to Transnet Freight Rail have resumed in early June after receipt of an order from them valued at rupees 25 crores. This order is expected to be completed in this financial year, and we expect further incremental orders for the subsidiary in the near term as well. The factory in Ghana has also been commissioned in the last week of June 2023. As already informed via our press release to the stock exchanges, it has a capacity of 240,000 sleepers per annum, for which we have already signed a contract of rupees 123 crores with the railways in Ghana. With this, GPT has become the largest railway-focused company in Africa based out of India and continues to grow in the continent given the large potential demand in the region. We believe strongly that international operations will complement our domestic businesses with better margin, and they have historically given good returns to the parent company in terms of dividend, license fees, etc. In terms of the balance sheet and the cash flow, the management continues its strong focus on cash flow and receivables while ensuring that the projects achieve the hurdle rate of EBITDA of 12.5% to 13%. This has enabled us to report strong numbers over the last couple of years. Our cash flow to EBITDA conversion remains north of 100% for this quarter as well, which was 110% for the full year last year. This shows significant reduction in receivables, which has allowed us to reduce our debt by approximately rupees 10 crores during the quarter, and thus providing comfortable liquidity for the operations. The bank limits continue to be utilized to the extent of approximately 85%, thus enabling us to continue the operations very smoothly. Furthermore, the strong balance sheet and good cash flow have also improved our outlook for the external rating by CRISIL, which is currently at BBB+ positive, which was upgraded from stable for long-term facilities and CRISIL A2 for short-term facilities. As you are aware, any upgrade in credit rating will also lead to reduction in borrowing costs for the company. Now coming to our segmental performance. As I said earlier, the infrastructure segment demonstrated a strong execution prowess with a remarkable 27% increase in revenues, reaching rupees 219 crores for the quarter ended 30th June 2023. This segment continues to be the backbone of our business, contributing almost 92% of our total revenues in Q1 FY24. In terms of the sleeper segment, the same generated revenues of approximately rupees 17 crores in Q1 FY24. This is despite the closure of the contract for DFC, and we anticipate increase in momentum in the sleeper segment, which is backed by commencement of operations in South Africa and commissioning of the facility in Ghana. We expect that for the full year this year, this segment will contribute almost 12 to 13% of annual revenues. The key contracts for the infrastructure segment continue to perform well, with contracts like Ghazipur, Mathura Jhansi, Nimtita, Baikala driving a major part of the revenues. Now coming to our order book. In Q1 FY24, we achieved the highest ever order book, which stood at rupees 2288 crores, with order inflow of rupees 248 crores during the year, which represents almost 2.83 times our FY23 revenues, providing strong visibility to the investors. It is worth mentioning that this order book represents one of the highest in the company's history. To enhance profitability, we have implemented key measures such as optimizing working capital, reducing outstanding with various customers, and this we continue to be positively driven by our strong outstanding order book, improving financial conditions, including strong cash flows and lower debt position as a result of the reduction in receivables. In our last call, we have already mentioned about the setting of a factory in Ghana with a total capacity of 240,000 concrete sleepers. In Q1 FY24, the factory in Ghana has commenced its operation fully, and it has a current outstanding order book of rupees 123 crores. As a measure to further improve the cash flow and also reduce debt, the company has applied for the settlement of old pending arbitration disputes under four contracts with various customers under the Vivad Se Vishwas Scheme 2, announced by the Honorable Finance Minister in her last Union Budget Scheme speech. The management is confident to settle all the existing arbitration cases with the central government and PSUs in this calendar year, and this will entail receipt of approximately rupees 60 crores from these old arbitration cases. 75% of this receipt will be used to reduce debt, and balance will be used for long-term working capital. We are quite thankful to the government for bringing out such a scheme, which will ensure that the old disputes across the industry are settled and provide much required cash flow to all the contractors. Now I'll move to the industry updates. Under the Union Budget 2023-24, capital outlay of rupees 2.4 lakh crores has been allocated to the Ministry of Railways, which is the highest ever capital outlay and about 9 times the outlay made in 2014. 100 PM Gati Shakti cargo terminals for multimodal logistics facilities will be developed till 2025. With the Eastern and Western Railway Freight Corridor expected to be commissioned in this financial year, Indian Railways and the Indian economy will start seeing full benefits of this ambitious project that aims to change the face of freight transportation across the country. Under the Vision 2024, Indian Railways will have a total of 29,147 kilometers railway infrastructure, out of which 9,910 kilometers track length has been commissioned, and total expenditure of 2.45 lakh crores has been incurred till end of FY23. The construction of the dedicated freight corridors, that is Eastern and Western corridors, is expected to be also completed in this financial year. So far, 2196 kilometers out of the total 2843 kilometers of DFC has already been completed. Therefore, you will see that the overall outlook for the company and the industry is quite good. I would like to reiterate that in Q1 FY24, we secured orders worth 248 crores, including incremental orders from existing contracts. As of Q1 FY24, our healthy order book amounts to 2288 crores, approximately 2.83 times our FY23 revenues, providing excellent growth opportunity and visibility for the company. The company has expanded its horizons and is entering newer geographies like Maharashtra. In the city of Mumbai, we have contracts worth almost 600 crores for MRIDCL. With an order book of 2.83 times our FY23 revenues, backed by healthy profit margins and positive and improving financial metrics and reducing debt and reduction in receivables as well, we believe that we are well positioned to continue this growth trajectory in the coming quarters. As I mentioned earlier as well, we are now bidding for contracts up to 1,000 crores each in our own name, expanding our potential opportunities for the growing segment of infrastructure business in India. We have started the fiscal year 2024 with a strong performance, and we expect to go ahead with the same guidance of approximately 20% growth in the revenues and approximately 40% growth in profit for FY24. That's it from my side. Thank you, and I look forward to addressing any questions or concerns that you might have regarding our financial performance and future prospects. I will request the moderator to kindly open the floor to questions and answers. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone wishing to ask a question may please press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is on the line of Parth Kotak from Alpha Plus Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Congratulations for a great set of numbers. Sir, you've mentioned in your comments before that we have a capacity of 240,000 concrete sleepers in Ghana. What would be the revenue potential of this capacity?
Thank you. The revenue potential, like I said, we have an order of 123 crores in Ghana, and every year, annually, we can get revenues of almost 80 crores from that facility.
Okay. Perfect. And I would also assume that since we've not generated any profits in Ghana, our actual operating margins would have further higher potential as we start getting profitable in Ghana, right?
So if you see, our standalone numbers are much better than the consolidated numbers. So the Ghana operations will come in the consolidated numbers, and obviously the consolidated numbers will kind of catch up to the standalone numbers as the Ghana operations and the South African operations do come online, and might be better than them by almost 50 to 100 basis points as well.
Super, super. Sir, also if you could help me with the net debt number as of the end of this quarter and the rate of interest thereof.
Net debt is almost 202 crores as of end of the quarter, and it's a consortium lending, so average interest rate would be of almost 10.5%.
Okay, perfect. And sir, just lastly, some commentary from your end on the bid pipeline. I know that you've mentioned in your comments that you've started bidding for orders above 1,000 crores. If you could just give us some more flavor into that, that would be really helpful. Thanks. That's all from my side.
Thank you. So we are, our current order book is about almost 2,288 crores, like I said in my opening remarks. And we like to maintain an order book visibility of almost 2.75 to 3 times our trailing numbers. This year, so last year we got almost 1,400 crores of new orders. This year we expect to get almost close to 1,600 to 1,700 crores of new orders, out of which we already got close to 250 crores in the first quarter.
Mr. Kotak?
Yes, that's all from my side. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star in one. The next question is from the line of Shivam Saxena from ICICI Bank. Please go ahead.
Yeah, congratulations for a good set of results. So just having how much is the government order book and how much is the from private players?
100% is government order book.
Okay. And do you see any delay in your execution?
No, no. Our execution is quite strong and it's We have achieved a revenue growth of almost 27%. There's no delay.
Okay. And what was this order book last year, if I would say? So has it increased? Just wanted to understand whether it is increasing last year, if you see, or any, how is the trend of the order book?
For 31st March 2022, it was 1684 crores. If you see slide 8 on our presentation, which was 2276 as on March 23 and is currently 2288 crores as on June.
And exports, you said, what is the business on export? I don't understand the exports. How is
we have three export manufacturing facilities. So we don't have any exports per se. We have three manufacturing facilities in Africa, one in South Africa, one in Namibia, and now one in Ghana. They manufacture and produce for the local markets there, and they are subsidiaries which in which the parent company obviously has invested, and they do give dividend and license fees, etc. There's no exports per se.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star and one. Participants on the conference, if you wish to ask a question, you may please press star and one. The next question is from the line of Kalpesh Parekh from Share India Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good afternoon, sir. Sir, I have a couple of questions. One, you mentioned that you're, you are looking at something like this year or new orders to the extent of 1600 crore, and out of which you have received something 200 CR in first quarter. Are we expecting, the major part of the orders coming in second half or something like that? And in which space it will be? More on infra side or more on sleeper side?
So just to correct you, this first quarter we received almost 250 crores, not 200 crores of new orders.
Okay.
And most of the orders are in the infrastructure segment. Sleeper business is almost... in terms of revenues, almost 10% expected to be this year. And in terms of order book, the sleeper segment is about 12% of the total order book.
Mm-hmm.
We expect, in terms of the areas, will be, like I said earlier as well, it's 100% government contracts, primarily focused on railways. And our core competencies in terms of bridges. So we expect the orders to come in from that segment.
And sir, we have seen margins, in this quarter also playing a decent game type of improvement we are seeing. Is the new orders what you are expecting would also be in similar type of band, or it will also help you because of the operating leverage situation will be much better?
So if you see our historical commentary or our historical annual financial statements as well, we've always said that we have a hurdle rate of EBITDA of 12.5-13%. We don't bid for contracts below that. And our EBITDA margins have always been there or north of there as well. So any new orders would come in at that margin, and we expect to maintain the EBITDA margin at that level as well.
Okay. And lastly, on this export side, how do you expect situation to improve? Are you expecting any major improvement from the other geographies as such, like in African subcontinent?
So first of all, it's not export, it's international business. We don't export from India to Africa.
Mm-hmm.
So traditionally, that is what is export. In terms of the African business, the Ghana facility has been commissioned in the last week of June. The South African facility has resumed operations in June, and we've got orders of 25 crores from there. So we expect that this financial year we should get the sleeper segment, which is primarily with one factory in India and three factories in Africa, would generate almost 125 crores of revenue.
Okay. Okay, sir. Wish you all the best. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rahul Shah from Crown Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good morning. With respect to your comment about entering newer geographies like Maharashtra, so I just missed the part. Can you just please elaborate what's the reason for entering that place and...
No. So we have got three contracts in Mumbai city from MRIDCL, which is Maharashtra Rail Infrastructure Development Corporation Limited. One is a cable stay bridge over Baikala railway station, another is a bridge over Ghatkopar railway station, and another is a connection of the Ghatkopar bridge to the Eastern Expressway. Three contracts total to about 600 crores.
600, okay.
And the execution for them is also going on smoothly.
So by what is like the timeline of this contract? By when do you expect to finish?
We expect to finish in FY25.
FY25. Okay. And this outlook you've given 20% growth margins in the band of 12-13% and 40% growth in profits. This is like overall a consolidated level, right?
Correct.
Correct. All right, so that's it. Thank you and all the best.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star and one. The next question is on the line of Parth Kotak from Alpha Plus Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Just require one clarification. You mentioned our total debt is at 202 crores and our interest cost is 10.5%. So should we assume that our total interest expense should be for the year around 122 crores?
No, because the finance cost includes bank guarantee commission, processing fees, interest on mobilization advance, and others. Last year, the finance cost was 36 crores. We expect it to be below 30 crores this year.
Perfect, sir. That's really helpful. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vignesh Iyer from Sequent Investments. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for the opportunity. So basically, I'm new to this company. So just to get an understanding on your international business, if you could just brief us about, just to get an understanding of your South African business and Ghana business, and individually, usually, what is the EBITDA margins this concrete sleeper business gets you, and the nature of contracts and the timeline for execution, if you could.
So we have three factories in Africa, one in South Africa, which is there since 2008-9, another in Namibia, which is a neighboring country for South Africa, which is there since 2011, and a third one we recently commissioned in Ghana. The factories in South Africa, Namibia, and Ghana, or the factories in, sorry, South Africa and Ghana are housed in a subsidiary locally there. And the factory in Namibia is an associate because it's in a PPP model with the government of Namibia. In terms of the revenue potential for each of the factories, last year means the revenue potential for South Africa at peak revenue, we have done about close to 80 crores in terms of revenue for South Africa. This year, we expect revenue from South Africa to be close to 30 odd crores. Namibia, the revenue doesn't get consolidated, only the profit from the associate does get consolidated. Ghana, like I said earlier, we expect revenue to be close to 60 odd crores, 50 to 60 crores this year, and that's the revenue potential for Ghana. The African business for this concrete sleeper fetches at EBITDA level a margin of almost 25%, which is much higher than the Indian sleeper business. And that is why, and it has been regularly dividend paying, and what do you call, it also gives the licensees and royalties to the parent as well.
So just to get some more understanding, what is, if you say, let's assume you get a contract, what is usually the timeline that we look at for executing the same, I mean, in the international business only? And do we get most of this contract from government only for Ghana and South Africa?
So we are producing concrete sleepers which are used for railways in world over, whether it is in Africa, India, anywhere else in the world. We have also done in Bangladesh, Sri Lanka, Myanmar for that matter. Railways is primarily owned by the government. We you might be having small bits and pieces here and there in India, for example, people having private sidings and for the mines and thermal power plants and all that, but that's a very small part of the business. So the supplies to the government or the state-owned railways is there in Africa as well. In terms of execution, like I said earlier, the capacity for the South African facility is about 400,000 sleepers per year. For the Ghana facility is about 240,000 a year. The execution can happen if the contract is available and the funds are available. So obviously we can execute to that level as the contracts are available.
Okay. Sir, if you could help me understand, the capacity of South Africa is around 4 lakh concrete sleepers. What is the peak revenue we can do in case, assuming we utilize it 100%?
No, it's never utilized 100%. So at 75-80%, like I said earlier, we have done almost 80 crores of revenue in the past, pre-COVID.
Right, sir. So, overall, as a company, for FY24, what is the EBITDA margin we are looking at to achieve?
We expect a 20% growth in the revenues for the overall for the company, and a 40% growth in the profit for overall for the company. In terms of EBITDA margin, we have a hurdle rate of 13%. We expect to be north of that for overall for the company.
Okay, sir. Okay, that's all from my side. It was quite useful, sir. Okay.
Thanks, you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ankita Rao, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. So I have a couple of questions. My first question is that are we planning to change our order book mix going forward? Like, we have achieved a 12% order mix from concrete sleeper segment.
No. The infrastructure business continues to be the backbone of our business and has done 85 to 90% of revenues as well as order book. And we expect that mix to be maintained going forward as well.
Okay. Also, sir, if you could throw some light on the Jogbani arbitration.
So as I said in my opening remarks, we have applied for this Vivad Se Vishwas scheme which was introduced in the last union budget scheme of the Honorable Finance Minister. In her speech, she had allocated money for this to settle all the existing arbitration disputes with the central government and central government PSUs.
Okay.
For four of our disputes, we have applied, including Jogbani, under this scheme.
Okay.
We already applied, and we expect the money to flow in this calendar year. This will entail a receipt of almost 60 to 62 crores from the government and central government PSUs. Out of it, 75% will be used to reduce debt, and balance will be used for long-term working capital.
Okay. Okay, sir, that was helpful. And also one last question, if you could guide on the current order book, like what's the execution time period for infrastructure segment?
Sure. So the current order book is about 2 to 8 crores, which is expected to be done in the next 2 odd years. And obviously new orders will flow in during that time, and we expect to maintain an order book visibility of 2.75 to 3 times our trailing 12 months numbers and grow at almost 20% this year and going forward as well.
20% this year?
Correct.
Oh, okay. Okay, that's it. That was helpful, sir. Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Hiral Nandu from Kalpakrush Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity and congratulations for the good set of numbers. While a couple of my questions have already got answered by the previous participant, one or two more questions I would like to understand and clarify. Is there any periodicity in the either receiving the orders and even the execution of the orders, maybe because of the rainy season or some other seasonal effects. So just to understand whether our quarters would remain equally on the received order or on the execution, or it will have some periodicity.
Sure. So generally the first half is almost 40% of the full year numbers.
Okay.
Having said that, this year's monsoon slightly delayed, especially barring, I would say, North India, monsoon is quite delayed and less in some sense. The second quarter is obviously affected by monsoon, but not that much. So if you were to average it out, maybe in the second quarter, we would do almost 18 to 20% of the full year revenues compared to 25% if you were to flatline it.
Okay.
In terms of order availability, obviously it depends on the government budget and the focus of the ministry, which is there, thankfully, for this government continuously. There is no ups and downs. We are participating in, we participate in public tenders, so the success ratio depends on the price, and we are quite disciplined in terms of our pricing, that we need a hurdle rate of 13% for at EBITDA level. If we do get a hurdle rate of 13%, we are happy to get it. If we don't, we are happy to let go of those contracts.
Okay.
Because we feel that there are a lot of contingencies in this industry, and you need to be very mindful of what margin you're bidding at.
Perfect. Thank you. That is good for the clarification. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rishit Shah from Nuvama Wealth. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity, sir. So actually, I have three related questions, and all of them on the infrastructure side of the domestic business. So with the current setup or the facility that you have and the investment that you have done, what kind of peak revenues could we generate? And secondly, considering the growth rate we are envisaging for the future, and when would you see the further investments to be done in the sector segment?
So, in terms of the infrastructure business, we don't have a facility per se. We do set up our facilities in the various locations wherein we do get the contracts. So, the investments that we have done is towards plant machinery, manpower and everything, and obviously the credentials that we have built over the last so many years in terms of our execution capabilities. Peak execution is something that there's no number, I think, in this industry that you can give in terms of peak execution per se. It depends on the order book that you can get, and we have been quite disciplined in terms of our order book, and we intend to maintain that discipline as well. We intend to be at a 12.5% to 13% EBITDA level going forward as well, and not dip in terms of the hurdle rate, because like I said to the previous question as well, that you know, this in this industry, a lot of contingencies are there, and we don't want to be hit by a downturn or a bad year and reduce the returns to the shareholders, because we have a good dividend policy as well for the shareholders. This year, we are targeting a growth of 20%, and this 20% growth is for the next 2 to 3 years. That would be the CAGR growth in terms of revenues. And obviously, profit would grow disproportionately, because a lot of the operational efficiencies do kick in. And profit this year is expected to grow by 40%, and then almost 30% CAGR growth in the profit going forward as well.
Perfect. So that's... So basically no lead time or no hurdle as of now. So basically we can take off with the growth that we are getting.
Yeah. I think this year, the first quarter has been quite good, and we expect this to maintain in the next, means even July has been quite good. So we expect the momentum to maintain as well.
Perfect. Thank you, sir. That's it.
Thank you.
A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star and one. We'll move on to the next question. That is from the line of Dheeraj Sachdev from Roha Asset Managers. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I've been hearing a lot of
diligence on selection of the order based on 13-13.5% margin. Is there a criteria for working capital way of selecting orders as well? Because I've seen in the past, being an infra-oriented company, your collections or operating cash flows have been pretty decent in terms of working capital. And is it going to sustain going forward? And what is the normalized working capital?
Sure. So first of all, I'll just correct you. What I think I have said, if maybe you're mistaken, it's 12.5% to 13%, not 13-13.5% in terms of the hurdle rate for the operating margins. In terms of the working capital, obviously we would like to get to 150 odd days in terms of working capital, which would be quite a good number. And hopefully that will also be achieved by the settlement of this arbitration disputes, and which have been stuck on the balance sheet, part of which has been stuck on the balance sheet for quite some time. And this Vivad Se Vishwas scheme too will entail the reduction of the contract assets, as is called, on the balance sheet due to the settlement of these disputes.
My question was, of course, the emphasis was more on the margins for selection of orders. Is there an emphasis on working capital and cash flows also for selection, or it's only accrual system of profit growth?
Sure. So cash flow is very, very important for us. Last year, we have done 110% cash flow to operations, cash flow from operations to EBITDA. This quarter also, it's almost 100%. We expect to maintain that going forward as well. We are strongly focused on receivables from customers. We do, I would say, 90% mostly central government contracts wherein there is a definite line of funding. We try to be as far away from the local bodies and, you know, the municipalities and otherwise. And very, very selective in terms of state government contracts, state governments which have good allocation for funds or multilateral funded contracts, there only we work. We don't work, we again try to wither away from private contracts as well. So cash flow is very important, even the working capital. We do have SAP implemented across all our project sites, which allows the management a strong focus on the cash flow and allows it to monitor it as well, so that the cash flows are ensured that they are maintained.
So the net working capital, even at 20% growth level for this year, net working capital, what could that number be?
So the working capital, the net working capital in terms of number of days would be approximately 150 odd days, like I said.
And even at 150 days, you are generating fairly decent amount of operating cash flow.
Correct.
Okay. So as you scale up the business at 150 days also, you not have too much of working capital debt, which will, bloat in terms of nature of business, because a lot of infra companies have had stress points only on this issue of working capital cycles. So
working capital debt right now, like I said, net debt is about 202 crores. We are utilizing almost 85% of our bank limits, and the idea is to bring it down further. So this working capital limit, the net debt target is that by the end of the year, we should have a net debt less than 150 crores.
So just trying to understand math right, if you're growing 20% and on that 20% incremental revenue, you'll have 152 days of extra incremental working capital. And on top of it, you will reduce the debt. How will that happen?
So debt reduction will also happen by this settlement of these arbitration disputes, like I said, which will entail an inflow of almost 60 crores. And also, the 20% growth will be financed by the 13% operating margin that we do have. So that 13% margin automatically finances the growth. We don't need to add new debt for the growth of the business.
Okay. So you assume the 60 crore of, okay, so one time 60 crore inflow to fund part of the working capital.
It is part of the debt reduction.
Debt reduction.
And honestly, we don't need working capital debt to finance our operations for the growth per se for the operations. So rather, they are, even in the first quarter, we have been able to reduce the debt by 10 crores from the existing cash flow. At that time, we did not have any the settlement of arbitration disputes otherwise.
Yeah. Okay, and thanks for answering the question. Thank you so much. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star and one. Participants, if you wish to ask a question, you may please press star and one. The next question is in the line of Pratamesh from Tiger Asset. Please go ahead. Pratamesh, your line is in the talk mode. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello. Good morning. My question was the revenue growth that you are expecting of 20%, is it from domestic or from the overall business?
It's both from the domestic as well as the overall. So this year on a standalone basis, which is the domestic business, we have grown by 26%. And we expect the both the domestic as well as the overall business to grow in tandem.
And can you just break it down, like how much revenue growth will be there from infra and from concrete?
So in terms of the infrastructure segment, it will contribute almost 87-88% of the overall revenue, and concrete will contribute almost 12-13% of the overall revenues. Infrastructure segment will grow by almost 20-23%, and concrete segment will grow about 15-18%. Obviously, concrete segment, the denominator has changed because the two factories for the dedicated freight corridor have completed the contract, which were there last year, and this year they're not there.
Yeah, okay. Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star and one. Participants in the conference, if you wish to ask a question, you may please press star and one. Participants, if you wish to ask a question, you may please press star and one. As there are no further questions, I now hand the conference over to Mr. Atul Tandia for his closing comments.
Thank you, everyone, for participating in our Q1 FY24 earnings conference call for the period ended 30th June 2023. I hope we have been able to address all your queries. In case you have any other queries, please direct the same to us or Stellar IR, our investor relations advisors. Thank you again and have a good day.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of GPT Intra Projects, that concludes this conference call. We thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.